if you got your Bible, let's open up Matthew 25.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 25, and I'll try to give you what I feel like the Lord's laid to our heart this morning. Matthew 25, yeah. And we want you to sing if you want to sing and be up. And we want you to mind the Lord best you can. And I've had this text. I'm honest with you. Probably three or four weeks, I guess. God's been just churning this text over and over again in my heart. And about Monday, God just gave me. I felt like the Lord really impressed on us for this to be the message this week. A very familiar text, Matthew chapter 25. Bible says, now I want you to, I don't want to mess nobody up doctrinally. I'm not going to preach this as far as it is and necessarily in its context. Matthew 25 is regarding the judgment of nations. But I want you to notice what happens. In Matthew 25 verse 31, said, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and He is coming in His glory, said, and the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. You go ahead and mark that down, friend. That's going to happen. Amen. Sure as I'm standing here, there's going to come a day that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to descend and He's going to walk up to Israel and He's going to sit on the throne of David just like He said He would. Amen. And it said, before Him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. Verse 34 says, then shall the King say unto them, on His right hand, come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Skip down with me if you will. Verse 41 says, then shall He say unto them on the left hand, depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. Heavenly Father, we bow our head one more time. And to God, I pray that You'd help us tonight. I pray, Lord, You'd fill us up with the Holy Ghost. God, I pray You give us unction from on high. And to God, I pray, Lord, You know the hearts of those that are here. And to God, I pray tonight that the sweet Holy Ghost would search us. And to God, I pray if there be anybody not washed in the blood of the Lamb, I pray today would be that day. And Lord, this would be the time and call on the name of Christ and would be saved. Father, I thank You, Lord, for everything You've done. In Christ's name we beg and pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to notice I got to think in it. And no doubt everybody in this room knows that there's more in your Bible about hell than there is about heaven. And God says more about what's going to happen if you reject Him than if you accept Him. And I got to thinking about all those things about hell. And my friend, we understand that it is a particular place. In other words, hell is not a frame of mind. It's not, my friend, doesn't matter how they try to modernize it. It is not just right here. There is a prepared place. There's a place, friend, just as sure as so we're standing here right now that's burning with an eternal fire that God had placed there. Oh, my friend, listen. We find that it is a particular place. And you say, preacher, I've had folks ask me this question before. And say, preacher, why does God send anybody to hell? He don't, thank God. I mean, He will eventually, you understand. But He's done everything He can and everything that needs to be done, Sam, to keep every sinner out of hell. Amen. And there's enough blood shed 2,000 years ago to keep every man, woman, boy, and girl out of the fiery pits of hell. I thought, no doubt, it's a particular place. And you say, well, what's the purpose? And you understand God's so holy that He has to judge sin. And my friend, there can't just be a transgression and a trespass and a crossing over on Him. And God has to judge it. And you say, preacher, why is God judging it that way? Oh, my friend, in order to be just and a justifier, He has to judge sin. But listen, friend, you understand that means mine and your sin will be judged. Amen. But I don't want to get too far ahead of the message. But I do want to stop right here and say, thank God He took my judgment. Amen. I want to say, praise the Lamb of God, that there's a God in heaven that sent his own son had come down to where I was and took my place. Amen. I want you to listen, friend. Here's the message. It's a particular place and it's a purposeful place. But I thank God for verse 41. It said, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire. But notice his last word. He said, prepared for the devil and his angel. And just run and shout on that a while. Amen. And that means, thank God, it was not prepared for one person. It wasn't prepared for Jordan. It wasn't prepared for Kevin. If you go to hell, my friend, you need to understand it was not prepared for you. Amen. I want you to listen just for a minute. If the Lord help us and you pray real hard, I want to give you just a few things. Have the message the Lord's put in my heart as it just ain't for you. Amen. There's a lot of things in this Bible. There's places that are prepared. There's things that are promised and they are for you. But there's some things and it just ain't for you. Hell's one of them things. It just ain't for you. Amen. I mean, y'all just stop right there if you're saved and say, thank God, hell ain't for me. Amen. I thought about a few reasons why it's not. And number one, it ain't for you. Because you are unprepared. Amen. I can't stress this enough. You are unprepared to die and go to hell. We find in this text several things. I want you to notice the first thing I see is that you are unprepared for how far hell is. Hell is a reality, dear neighbor. I mean, look here, friend. It's right where it's been. They still folks there and they still ain't got out. Amen. You cannot imagine just how far hell is. You say, preacher, how far is it? I'll tell you how far it is. And when the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, he looked out and there was a great gulf that was filled. I understand that paradise in heaven are no longer in the same paradise. Not there, done went up. I get that. But I want you to understand hell is still as far as it's ever been. Amen. Oh, hear me today, dear neighbor. We find in this text of scripture, he said, depart from me. And look here, I start thinking about this. And not only is hell real far, but it's a whole lot closer than you think too. Amen. There's an awful lot of folks tonight that, my friend, that they're just one breath. I mean, just one shallow breath. Hey, you remember what David said one time? And whenever Saul was coming after it, he said, there he is but a step between me and death. And Brother Creston, nobody intends to die and go to hell. But boy, just one day, he put it off just one moment too late. And just one day too late. And the next thing they find as they lift up their eyes in hell. Oh, listen, friend. You're not prepared for how far it is. And you say, preacher, physically. And no, the distance of hell is further than that. It goes beyond the realm of hope. I've never been anywhere where I've been far from the hope of God. But I'm telling you, if you lift up your eyes in hell, the distance between there and the hope is forever gone. You'll never get the chasm separated between that back together no more. There'll be no more hope, friend. It's far from hope. It's far from hell. I thank God. Look here. Aren't you glad no matter where you're at, if you're a sinner under the sound of my voice this morning, you ain't never went too far, and God can't help you here. But if you close your eyes in death and lift up your eyes in hell, you have went too far for the grace of God. Amen. Oh, listen, friend, you say, preacher, how you think you can go too far? I think the moment you end up in hell, you realize. Now, Brother Cliff, one of the things that bothers me about hell, how you know the rich man, when he lifted up his eyes, he didn't say, Lord, would you get me out? He didn't cry out to be saved. He knew it was too late for all that, Jordan. Oh, listen, I hope the reality of hell, I hope it'll get real in folks' hearts this morning. You're going to die one day, younger
road, you're going to die. And if without Christ, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell, and you're unprepared for how far it is. Oh, listen, friend. That keeps getting further and further away at the bottomless pit, that boundless chasm, friend, away from God. That keeps getting further and further. I'm saying this, you're unprepared for how far it is. I want you to notice this and what's in the text, what the Bible says. He said, ye cursed into everlasting fire. I think that you're not prepared for how real it is. Oh, listen, friend, there's a lot of folks that they talk about a lot of faith. But the reality is, however bad you think hell is, it's much worse than that. I mean, look at me, friend. Don't nobody. I mean, look up here at me tonight, all right? You pay attention to the Word of God tonight. You can look at your phone, look at your notes later. Right now, I want you to hear what the Word of God's got to say. Hell. It's not for you, friend. You're not prepared for how far it is, and you're not prepared for how bad it is. I can preach about the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. I can preach about the flames. I can preach about outer darkness. I can preach about being bound. I can preach about all of that. But Brother Bill, the reality is it's much worse than we can imagine. There's not one person in hell that says, man, I'm sure glad I went here. Amen. I mean, look at me, friend. There's not one. There's not one person that dropped off into hell and said, I sure thank God I'm here. Hey, you know what the reality is, Brother Nathaniel? They were not prepared. Amen. I don't know if you know it or not, but God didn't leave you on this earth to get to, thank God, a better bank account. He didn't leave you on this earth to have a better business or to be a better person. Listen, you know why you're here? And the judgment comes down, and God's word says plain, prepare to meet thy God. Hey, you know why you're here sitting under preaching today? To get prepared to meet God. And my friend, there's coming a day, like it or hate it, ignore it or whatever. But you need to know, there's coming a day, friend, you're going to stand before God. Oh, hear me. You're not ready. It ain't for you. That's a blessing, ain't it, Brother Josh? It's a blessing. I mean, you come in the house of God. I can put my finger on that verse out there, Lily, and say, hell's not made for me. Amen. Hell's not made for me. And if hell's not made for me, that must mean there's a way out. Amen. And boy, I shout on that for a little while. Thank God it's not for me. And you're unprepared for how real it is. And you're unprepared for how far it is. And Nathaniel, folks that are lost are unprepared for how long hell really is. Oh, listen, friend, if it just lasts a little while, that'd be bad enough, wouldn't it, Brother Bill? I mean, honestly, if it just lasted for a moment, just for a day or two, you do whatever you want to. And my friend, but if you're looking at that thing, if we said that whole wall was eternity, and that's where you're at right there, just a little small dot, and that's all that there is. And my friend, it just keeps going and going and going and going and going. You're not prepared for that. And you're not prepared for how long hell is. And you say, preacher, I'm prepared. I've done my life. I've lived my life. And the moment you close your eyes in death, friend, if you die without Christ, you're not prepared for how long it's going to be. You're not prepared for it. You'll say, preacher, how long is it? It's so long that we can't even fathom it. It's so long that while we sit here right now, that the same rich man in hell, Jordan, that was wanting out 2,000 years ago, the flames are still lapping on him right now. The Bible says in Romans, or in the book of the Revelation, chapter 14, that the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. In Matthew chapter 23, the Bible says, depart from me into everlasting fire. You say, how long is it? It's a mighty long time, amen. It's a mighty long time. And you say, preacher, I'm just not sure about this. I'm going to tell you, I've stood over the grave of many, stood by many. Davis, I've stood over those at your age, had these youngins, little babies, had the youngest that I ever carried, us in a little cooler box, no bigger than this. I understand she was protected. I understand saved. But what I want you to understand is that these folks drop off into eternity every single moment, and they're not prepared for how long it really is. It's a mighty long time.
And then after that, it'll be even longer. And after 10 million years, it'll be even longer than that. And after 10 million more pass by, you'll be no closer to getting out than you was the very first day. Now, if we could communicate that really, if we could really get that across, folks would run. They would flee the wrath to come. But boy, we can't communicate it. So we just believe it. I'm saying this to you first of all. You ain't prepared. You're unprepared. It ain't for you, you're unprepared. I want to tell you number two, it ain't for you, you're unwanted there. Everybody look at me and say amen right there. Boy, what a blessing. You ain't wanted in hell. I'll give you three groups of people that I'm certain do not want you to die and go to hell. The first group of people is the people that's already in hell. I got Bible for it in Luke chapter 16. Yeah, brother Joe, the Bible says, he says, please. He said, send Lazarus back that he might testify to my brother, lest they come into this place of torment. You know who don't want you in hell? Other people that are in hell. Amen. Say they're not ready for it. It ain't for them. It ain't for them. You know who else don't want you in hell? Everybody in heaven. Ain't that a blessing? You say, preacher, how do you know nobody in heaven don't want me in hell? I'll tell you what the Bible says about it, Chase. What the Bible says about every sinner that repents. It says that there is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that repents. Amen, amen. Boy, I feel like running a little bit on that one there. Thank God. I mean, every time a sinner comes down and calls on the lovely name of Christ up there somewhere in glory, all those saints that have went before, how the Bible says there's joy in the presence of angels. It's not the angels shouting around, neighbor. It's those saints of God, praise God, and those folks that have already went on and they laid out the path and they done the praying and they pointed the way and they died in faith. Those are the ones that are shouting it out on that day. Listen, those in hell don't want you to go to hell. You know people in hell right now, no doubt. Terry, whoever we know, you know what they'd do if they could, Patton? If they come back here, I'm going to be honest with you, Brother Jones. We could get one person out of hell. They don't have to be a preacher. I promise you, their testimony of what hell's like would be enough. It'd be straight enough. It'd be good enough. I'm going to tell you who else don't want you to go to hell. The Church of the Living God. I don't know if you know it or not, but Kevin, there's a lot of folks, they're unaware of what our purpose is. It's not to build buildings. No. Brother John Jones, we're not in this thing to try to build buildings and try to fill pews. You know why God left the church here? Because somebody needed to go tell them, be light, be salt for those folks that are dying and on their way to hell. Bible says 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 20, tell people they got to be reconciled unto God. We're to be the ambassadors who go out and say good news. Hell is not for you. Amen. There is a way out. Thank God. I'm saying this, you're not ready. You're unwanted, but I've got an even better thing. Thank God it's unnecessary. Amen. Thank God. You ain't ready to go. You don't have to go. You ain't got to go. Say, how not, preacher? This is the good part. This is the good part of the message. You ain't got to go. Say, how do I get out of going? Amen. Boy, the whole Bible's been pointing to it. Everything ever written in that thing has been pointing to that thing. From the first time that man sinned,
And to thank God, God could have just cast our body into hell. But instead of doing that, he went and he shed blood, didn't he? Amen. And he took two coats of skins and he put on them, thank God, and he covered where there's at. And then we find, praise God, on up. And one of my favorite stories, obviously, in this Bible, is there came a time when the blood got put on the doorposts and on the lintel, and everybody got put inside the house. I thank God nobody, look here, it didn't matter what kind of person was on the inside. Didn't matter how many sins they'd done. Didn't matter how bad they was. Thank God God never asked that question. He only said this, put the blood up and get on the inside, and the blood is sufficient. Amen. They go on through time. We've got the blood on the Day of Atonement. How precious it is. Covered the whole nation. I'm going to read this. Lord, help me real quick. You pray for me. Hebrews chapter number 9. One of my favorites. And I'm going to start in my favorite place in Hebrews 9, and then I'll get to where I'm trying to go. You can listen. It's fine. Hebrews 9:12. Boy, I like that real good. It said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood hath he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, verse 14, he said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He said, this is what I'm saying. If the blood of that lamb was good enough to keep those on the inside, and the blood of goats and the ashes of heifer, if that was enough, Paul simply says this. He says, how much more? How much more? Here's where it comes down to, Tanner. It's unnecessary that you go, but you still can go. You can still die and go to hell. It's unnecessary. So you couldn't get to God. Just bear with me for just a minute, will you? You couldn't get to God. You stand before God in your sinfulness, God destroy you, wipe you off the face. Done. No, Job said it right, I think, in Job 9:33. He said, neither is there a daysman betwixt us. Right. He said, he might lay hands on us both. Right. Oh, Job said, I know I can't stand before God. He said, I sure wish there's somebody that would come get a hold of both of us.
Yeah.
Then Paul, when he's writing 1 Timothy, he pins it down. 1 Timothy 2:5. He said, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. See, there's a table. God's the offended party, and he's come his way. On the other side, you've got a mediator. I love what it says. It says that a mediator will guide the process. And a mediator will instruct the process. But a mediator don't make decisions for anybody. So on one side you've got God and you've got Christ standing, and on the other side, sinner, it comes down to you. And you say, what I got to do to get right with God? Well, he tells us very plainly. Very plainly. Acts chapter 20, verse 21. You go read it. It says, if we're going to get right with God, there's going to have to be repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, how'd I do that, preacher? What's that mean? Repentance. I can't even remember everything that I've done. God's not interested in you repenting of what you've done. Don't nobody get nervous, but you know who's supposed to repent over what they do? The saints. We're the ones who to repent over what we do. Sinners repent over what they are. What they are. You say, you believe God to help me?
Well, he said, it ain't prepared for you. All right, y'all watch your Bibles. I'm done preaching. I'm going to read this verse and I'm done preaching. This ain't for you. Hell ain't for you. Separation ain't for you. Watch what he says. I skipped over it on purpose. But in verse number 34 of Matthew 25, he says, to inherit the kingdom prepared for you. I want you to listen. I'm done. Everything that's in hell, Misty, Christ already suffered it. Listen to me. I'm done. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 23, he said that he would bind them hand and feet and cast them out. Got thinking about that, Barbara Jo. You ever notice when you read about hell, you never read about how they scratch or claw? Only how they gnash, bite. You know why, Nathaniel? They're bound for all of eternity. Benny, and you know what God done to his own son? He bound him. Hands and feet. Hands and feet. On the cross of Calvary, they bound his hands and they bound his feet. Then in hell, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you know what they done to him, Kelsey? They bite on him. You said, preacher, I ain't never read that in the Gospels. That's not where you'll find it. You have to flip over to Psalms chapter 22. It says, many bulls of Bashan compassed about me and beset me. The next verse says, and they gaped upon me with their mouth and with their teeth. While he's on the cross, he's bound. There's weeping, there's gnashing, and there's an eternal separation that occurs. Everything that hell has to offer, God poured all that wrath out on his son. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Boy, what a trade. What a trade. God, I could come up and say, God, thank you. You'd accept somebody like me for Christ's stead. It's unnecessary. I'm done. I feel like I might say this. Stand to your feet, come get a song. I want you to listen to me. Everybody listening real good? Everybody hearing me real good? There's no parties in hell. Never read about people partying. But I've read a lot about a lot of folks that are suffering. Brother Keith, I've talked to people and they say, when I go to hell, I'm going to go to hell and I'm going to go drink and I'm going to party. I've never found no drinking in hell, but I found a lot of thirsting just for a drop. I've never seen in my Bible where there's any rejoicing in hell, but I've read about a lot of sorrow. And the message today, simple, it ain't for you. You're unprepared to go. You're unwanted there. And it's altogether unnecessary. Preacher, what I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't come to an altar. We come to Christ. Go to the Lord. I'll give you what I feel like the Lord's given me. If you're saved, pray. If you're not, come. Come. Go ahead and sing.